There are a lot of people who say once saved, always saved, but have no evidence of that salvation in their life. So, in reality, are they once saved, always saved? Really?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like this video, subscribe to our channel because we have podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And I'm excited you're here for this one. It's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah. So we come from a background that is Baptist in heritage. Mm-hmm. So most of our doctrinal beliefs at our church lean strongly Baptist. We don't look in practice like a lot of Baptists, and we have even most recently kind of disassociated ourselves with the Southern Baptist Convention. So we're not attached to them in any way, but our doctrine leans more Baptist-like. Mm-hmm. So for people that are outside a Baptist heritage, there's typically one major complaint doctrinally toward Baptist, and it is their belief of once saved, always saved, they call it. That's usually what people say from the outside.
Yeah.
Inside, we call it security of the believer.
Yeah.
But there's that those from the outside tend to say toward it in a negative way, you know, you always believe in once saved, always saved. And that usually is the case because they've come in contact with someone whose life does not reflect that they are saved. Mm-hmm. They look more like never have been saved, never will be saved, rather than once saved, always saved.
Yeah. Just because they said a prayer one time back however many years ago.
Yeah, but they still live, you know, in a way that's totally contrary, that you wouldn't know from their lifestyle. You know, maybe, well, I'm not even going to get into a list because it'll turn into a list.
Yep.
But they live in a way that's contrary to the faith that they proclaim.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, and the reality of just following Jesus or doing things that are not consistent at all. So it's a legitimate question. Like, because from the outside, they hold on, they say, you hold on to this? Like, really? You're gonna stand with that guy who says once saved, always saved, when in reality there's no evidence whatsoever or very, very minimal evidence in his life that they really are saved. So kind of raises the question, some tension today.
Yeah.
Is someone who proclaimed they were saved at some point in life, but who live a lifestyle and have lived that lifestyle for some period of time, are they really saved?
Which you have to obviously get into defined terms and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, what does saved mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was it? What was the moment? What was the time that they said, I am a believer?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because they prayed a prayer at a event at one time where they did some religious things?
Right.
And someone said, you're now saved because of this. And they say, whew, good, I'm saved because I did this.
Right.
Now I'm going to go live my life the way I want it to.
Right, yeah.
Because in doing so, you'd have to then ask the question, well, were you actually saved to begin with?
Right.
Because if you just went and did a religious thing where someone pronounced you to be saved and you said, glad I've got that title on me, I'm going to go do my life now, then it's like, the question then is, did you ever actually receive grace and forgiveness of your sins from God in a way in which it impacted you and you received, I am a new creation.
Right.
I have the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow after Christ, which is more the way in which Jesus says, this is what a new believer looks like.
Right.
Repent and believe.
Right.
Which we could get all into the
mechanics of salvation.
Or even the whole prayer, you know.
Yeah.
I'll say a prayer and now I'm saved.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
That's a different topic. It's very close to all of this, but we're not going to spend all our time on that.
Yeah. Right. So those are all internal questions, like internal for me to consider within the church and so forth. But I guess, you know, from the other side, it's like, okay, so when that person dies, are they going to heaven? You know?
Yeah.
And I think one of the things we have to admit right up front is no one has the ability to absolutely know the condition of another person's soul.
Yeah.
Or their spirit, we'll say today.
Their absolute internal.
Right.
Their beliefs.
Yeah. Because what's true is you can have someone who is, let's say, an infant in Christ who has not learned to walk in stability and security and peace and righteousness yet. And so they have a lifestyle that can look like someone who has made a profession of faith decades ago, but has walked in disobedience, really.
Yeah.
Those two can actually look much alike. Or so can someone who is not saved at all, but has just lived a moral life. So yeah. I can't know. We can't know the absolute
let's
condition.
Let's just also say a moral life, in quotes. Yeah, right. A looks like from the outside, yes. Yeah, you do right things.
Yeah. But I think just from the asking the question, so is there really something that should be expected to be different about a person when they're saved? Or is it just the fact that you went through the motions at some point? Prayed a prayer, said some words, did a religious thing. Did that make you saved? And if so, is even though you live a lifestyle, years, decades, that has no evidence of that. You're not involved in a biblical church. You're not regularly taking in truth from the scripture. You're not seeing God move in your life. You're not acknowledging him. In fact, you've become bitter. You become selfish. You're angry. You're addicted.
Therefore, you're not obeying him.
Yeah. So is that person really saved? Is it really once saved, always saved? Is that just a concrete bedrock truth that you can lay on top of all of what is known of as Christianity?
So I want to go ahead and just say yes.
Mm.
And then I also want to go ahead and say no.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with saying yes.
Okay.
It is a bedrock truth.
Yes.
That once you are saved, you cannot lose salvation.
All right.
And I will say that because your saving, again, we're going to go places in this podcast, but you got to start out somewhere.
Start it.
Your salvation is not hinged upon your doing. Your standing with God is not hinged upon your perfection. Your standing with God is hinged upon the sacrifice of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So once your sins have been removed, because that's what we say, hey, mm-hmm. if you are going to be a new creation, mm-hmm. you're going to place your faith, place your whole being, surrender your life, lose your life to gain it, as Jesus would say. I'm going to lay down my life, and I'm going to gain
take
new life.
Take up my cross and follow.
I'm going to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you are born again, you are not going to lose your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And then gain your salvation again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might lose your salvation because you do bad mm-hmm. things. And then gain your salvation because you do good things. But your salvation of your soul, the saving, the redeeming of your soul, mm-hmm. to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light,
mm-hmm.
is an event that happens at a point in your life where you repent and believe in mm-hmm. Jesus to be the Lord of your life.
Yep.
And you do not lose that salvation.
Right. Jesus talked about it in terms of a birth,
uh-huh.
being born again. So a new life begins, and that doesn't start and stop.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's not born again, die.
Right.
Born again,
right.
die again.
Yeah.
Born again, die again.
Yeah.
But it's new life. And so upon that, your salvation, your soul being justified.
Mm-hmm. Declared righteous.
Declared righteous.
Declared clean.
Yep. It is finished on the cross.
Yes.
Boom.
Right.
So place your faith in him.
Yeah. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and no one can snatch them out of my hand.
Yeah.
There's security and all that. For the one who believes, there's that security. Paul would say that he's persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God once we are in and receive the love of God.
And once you are a child, once you are adopted into his family, mm-hmm. that's another phrase and picture that's used, is you have been adopted as a son and daughter of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you would not be cast out anymore. Right. You're not a slave, but you're a son.
Right.
And so you are in the family of God upon being saved.
Mm-hmm.
Not mm-hmm. that you are saved. Ooh, you did bad. See ya.
Right.
You didn't get saved again. Back in. Right.
Right.
But it's only because of what Jesus has done mm-hmm. that you are saved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'd say...
That's on the yes side.
Yes.
Yes.
You cannot lose your salvation.
Yeah. John writes in 1 John, says, these things I have written so that you may know
yes.
whom you have believed
yeah.
and that you have salvation.
Yeah. And we are to have confidence and security and assurance
yeah.
of our standing with God
yes.
in being pure and yeah. having righteousness.
Yeah. Faith is the confidence of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. Mm-hmm. It is confidence. Yes, it is.
So by your life bearing out your faith, you are sure that you have salvation from God.
Mm-hmm. So you just said it was by belief alone.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And this is where, yes, you cannot lose your salvation. How do you know if you're saved? That's the most classic question. That's mm-hmm. what everyone's, mm-hmm. like any person who is mm-hmm. new to Christianity especially,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you've been in weird, high-pressured, high-guilt, shame,
mm-hmm.
high-manipulation society, culture of a church mm-hmm. and all this stuff, there's that, well, how can I really know that I'm saved? Mm-hmm. You have fears and doubts and attacks. Yep. And all this. How can I really know I'm saved? You continue to believe
yeah.
in spite of whatever circumstances
yep.
you see or feelings that you feel.
Right.
You continue to do good. You continue to obey and you continue to love and you continue to grow and seek the Lord. And there's a relationship that grows. Yeah. And just like a child who's an infant, they eventually grow up and they grow up and they grow up and they understand the relationship they have with their parents and all this stuff.
Right.
And they understand the standing that they have with their parents. And they don't just stay infants where they're just, you know,
right.
a wreck all the time.
Yeah. I think this is where some of the dance comes in, though, because the continuing, there is external parts to it, but the continuing is in believing. Because I know in my own life, over decades, there have been times that I looked at my current behaviors and thought, okay, well, I must not be saved because I am
yeah.
still struggling with this sin, or I had these doubts, or mm-hmm. I was not loving, mm-hmm. or I'm not sharing the gospel enough, or I'm, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I had to go back to remembering the truth about what I had been told in Christ and what the Word of God says, and I had to rest again on what I believe. That's where our security is in believing. But I think to take the conversation back over the other spot of someone from the outside looking in saying, you Baptist, you always say once saved, always saved. I think the complaint here is, again, this idea that someone says they believe, but there's no evidence whatsoever in their life.
Yeah.
So this is kind of where you were headed, was, is there a place that evidence fits? Does
yeah.
it fit into the equation? Does it play a part in it? Does it have to be there? And is there something problematic? Is there an element that's mm-hmm. problematic to saying once saved, always yeah. saved?
Yeah.
I think this goes back to maybe the yes and no.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. The problem is in that people want security of salvation. They want, like, all right, this is the future mm-hmm. of my life. I'm good with God, but I want it on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Though. Like, I want to go make some kind of religious transaction.
Yeah.
Like I go buy an insurance policy.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go live my life. I'm still going to, you know, I'm going to buy an auto insurance policy, but I'm going to, you know, speed and drive reckless and,
yeah.
you know, drink and drive.
And my payment is going to be, I'll go to church on Sundays, you know, and then I'll go keep on living my life.
Yeah, exactly. I've got coverage.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
Yeah.
That's not salvation.
No.
That's not it at all. We're invited to come get a fire insurance policy
yeah.
or a coverage for some date in eternity where we meet God. We're invited to a transformation of life now
mm-hmm.
that has a result of life after death, but it has a real transformational dimension to it right now.
Yeah.
So again, is it always once saved, always saved? If you're going with the definition of terms, as you said, the answer is still yes.
Yeah.
But there's some verses in Scripture that lean in the other direction, that non-Baptists usually lean into.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have to be, you have to bring them up. You have to address them because they're real. You know, you have Hebrews 3:6. It says, Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope to the end. So there's an if in there, and it makes it sound like this whole deal is very conditional. Yeah. Like, okay, now this all sounds like it's believing in faith, but now it's something else as well. Or then Hebrews 3:14, not many verses later, for we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So Hebrews, you know, the writer has taken us down this path where now all of a sudden doesn't sound so once saved, always saved-ish anymore. You know, it sounds more like there's an if, and there is. It doesn't sound like there really is an if there.
There is literally an if in these verses.
Yeah, and Jesus would even say, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed.
Yeah, and people want, if you go to church, you are my disciples indeed. Or if you agree to what I say, you're my disciples. If you abide, that's your lifestyle, then you're my disciples. Like, okay, well then you're telling me if I don't abide, I'm not your disciple? Yes. Yeah, because that's the thing. I think what once saved, always saved has turned into is once a believer or an agreeer, always saved.
Agreeer.
Yeah. Once I agree,
sign the contract
to the Bible is true, God is the creator,
baptized,
Jesus was real,
prayed a prayer.
I've taken communion, I've done these things, I'm saved. Again, in that, all the salvation is only hinged upon your workings, your doings, and none of it is hinged on obedience continually. That's right. I've heard someone was saying, to know if you have faith is seen if you are faithful.
Right.
If you are living out a life that is continual, like, oh, am I saved or not? Well, am I continuing or am I not? And it's like, if I am not, it's not like, oh, I lost my salvation. But it should present the question of, wow, have I really accepted the grace of God and the forgiveness of my sins and what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, you have other things like Jesus saying about the end times. He says there's going to be a time when the love of many will grow cold. But he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So now we've got this other conditional part. And the condition at this point seems to be around the idea of continuing, of enduring. Paul goes on and says it. He says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So there again, you have this truth that now salvation is going to have an endurance factor to it. It's going to play out for long periods of time. So that verse is both securing and frightful to people.
Yeah.
If we deny him, he will also deny us.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember some of that myself, thinking, oh my goodness, I was with a group of friends and they all started talking and I didn't say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I denied him. In fact, they asked me and I kind of played it down.
Yeah.
Does that mean
I'm going to be denied before the
Father? I'm lost now all of a sudden. Do I need to go be saved again? Those are the big questions. But the indicator here seems to be along the line of, well, if you are saved, the component that is true from the New Testament is there will be a continuing. Doesn't mean that it's perfection, but there is a continuing to believe and an endurance, which implies through difficulty, through hardship, through rejection, through trial, through temptations, you keep enduring.
So good, yeah.
So, but that again seems to bring us back to this idea of mystery and tension. Yeah. Like, which one is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it almost feels like we're on two separate sides of the issue at this point. So is that what's happening?
To a degree. Yeah. We usually like, well, not that nothing's black and white, because there, right, like truth is fixed, truth, yep, is objective.
Yep.
But there are certain matters of faith that are not just either or, but it's a both and, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's, mm-hmm, like, does God have total sovereignty or does man have free will? Mm. Yes, they are both true.
Mm-hmm.
Is your salvation secure because of your faith in Christ? Mm-hmm. Yes. Does your salvation also require a playing out in your,
mm-hmm,
life? Yes, mm-hmm, it does.
Yeah.
Without works,
yeah,
there is nothing to prove your faith.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And so, and then without faith, there's no salvation. And so what I think is the bigger problem with the once saved, always saved crowd, the thing you can run into is a sense, I guess you could say, of a blind arrogance, potentially, hey, this is all figured out, so it doesn't really matter how I live my life now,
right,
which then leads to you abusing the grace of God, because you're like, well, I've already been saved, so who kind of cares? You know, I'm eternally secure, so what does it really matter now?
Yeah, and a rejection of the very word that you claim to be saved by. Because Jesus said, yeah, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me.
Yes.
If you're claiming you're a follower, but not denying yourself and taking up your cross and enduring and continuing, then you're railing against the very truth that you say you believe.
Exactly. And so I think the opposition to the once saved, always saved crowd,
mm-hmm,
is don't forfeit like the importance of right now. Just whenever you're like, oh, my eternity's secure,
mm-hmm,
so right now it doesn't really even matter anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of like, that is how some people might can take it, or it might be taught that way.
Yeah.
And I think the value of, however, there is still fault in the more, you could say, Pentecostal side of teaching of, and I don't know what the opposite side other than like,
mm-hmm,
it's because not that your salvation depends on you, but like the you can lose your salvation crowd, I guess you could say, they put a premium on obedience and loving the Lord here and now.
Yeah. And like, and the experience.
Yes.
You should be experiencing the reality.
You should be looking for where is God moving in my life right now? That's valuable.
And yeah.
The fault there is, am I really saved? Am I not really saved? Yeah. I don't really know.
There's no certainty.
It's only as good as I am.
Right.
But the fault on the once saved, always saved only crowd, mm-hmm, is, oh, I'm secure. I can do whatever I want now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
neither of those are real faith.
That's what I'm saying. Both of those are incorrect.
Yes.
Both the extremes of those are incorrect.
Yes.
So we would say, and not just to be like, always yes to both, you know, but your salvation is secure, and at the same time, your obedience and love for God is of absolute premium now.
Yeah, exactly.
And without obedience and love to God now,
mm-hmm,
there must be a question of, what is your salvation? Do you know the grace of God in your life?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So there's the internal component, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the component of, I by faith believe and receive that life into me.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I am saved. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's by faith that we're saved, or by grace through faith are you saved, that not of yourselves. So that is the internal component, but then there's the external component, and that shows up in continuing in obedience.
Yeah.
And both of those, as you said, those have to be true at the same time.
Yeah. So in the example of someone is a church goer, maybe a church leader, and they're going and they're doing and they're preaching and they're bringing people to Christ and all this stuff, and then see ya.
Yes.
They leave the church.
Right.
They leave the everyone's like, what in the world?
Right.
I thought this person
right
thought they were solid. What happened? Where are they?
Yep.
and they're off on a path where they are being disobedient to God and they're choosing their own way.
Yep.
All we can do is say, were they even saved to begin with?
Yeah, because the first parts that you mentioned were all externals.
Yeah.
They attended church. Yep. They were in church ministry. Leader,
yeah.
They were serving. They were leading. Those are all external observables.
Yeah.
And those can be helpful in determining another person's character.
In, evaluating,
But they alone are not enough to determine. They're just mere external components. Now, the difficulty is that often a person like you just described will also have the verbiage that says, I remember in 19 fill in the blank or 2000 fill in the blank, when I was saved, when I believed, when I surrendered to the ministry, when I did this, whenever I did this. But those, again, those are all externals. That's all we can do is hear. I can't know the component of their heart piece in that. But so both have to be true. There has to be the genuine experience and then the exterior obedience. And sadly, sometimes it's not until time plays out.
Exactly.
Now we're back to the endurance factor.
Exactly.
It's not in the continuing. If they didn't continue in
that's
it.
That's what I was going to say.
I think it's John that says they went out from us because they were not of us.
Yep, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, there are people in ministry who will leave, gone. You're like, wow, this person wasn't even a believer to begin. Some people start going, well, is their ministry even valid? What about the people that got saved under this? Right. Like, well, it's not up to that individual.
No, they weren't saved
all,
by that guy.
They're saved by Christ.
Yes.
And so if they leave and say 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, they come to an awareness, a realization, wow, I understand what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm broken over this. I'm repenting. I'm believing.
Yep.
Then you would say, that person's saved.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
If they did not, you'd say, I don't know if that person was saved. Mm-hmm. I doubt that that person is actually saved, you know, because they did not continue.
Right.
And so the life of a true believer is one that continues and continues, and I endure, and I am living. That's why I think it's not a one time. Did you repent and believe one time? Mm-hmm. Did you pray a prayer one time? But it's a matter of, do I live a life of repentance? Do I live a life of acknowledging God's forgiveness? Do I live a life that is continually surrounded and it like immersed in God and all his character?
Right.
That is what the true believer is, someone that endures, endures, endures.
Because, I mean, even by the name, our identity, we're believers.
Yeah.
We are active in the process of believing. We're still believing. Yeah. So we didn't come into a doctrine of one-time belief.
Yeah. Yes, that's so good. That's,
we are invited to a life where we've come to
lifestyle.
A doctrine of believing.
Yes.
We are believers. And the demonstration of that is in our behaviors.
Yes, yes.
The believer has behaviors. And you can't necessarily hold up, you know, the version of you against someone else.
No.
But there are biblical fruits that should be evident in a person. And perhaps the best measure is what we've read in these verses is in the continuance. Mm-hmm. Is there a continuing and a progression
yeah,
a in them?
That's really good.
So one of the other frightening verses from Hebrews 10 says, now the just shall live by faith, which, love that. Nothing, you know, harmful or hurtful about that.
Yeah.
But the next part is God saying, but if anyone draws back, if they stop living by faith, if they instead start to choose to live by their performance, by their own ability to pay off their sins through their guilt or their shame or their serving, here's what it says. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Oh, that's frightening. For God to not have delight in someone pulling away from the very salvation that they proclaimed and then go off into their own lifestyle, their own way of attaining life or their own way of attaining, you know, redemption, if you will, or payoff for their sins or finding other things to be their source of joy and peace and removal of guilt.
I mean, if anything, that verse just proves that Christianity is not about hitting certain quotas, making sure you're doing the right things, make sure you're appeasing God in the right way. And, you know, like, oh, let me do all these things so that, you know, like God will have pleasure with me based on what I do. It's literally in the relational aspect of things. You know, it's in the connected staying ongoing. With like the, the ongoing process of this, because in the pulling back, the pulling away, then there is no pleasure because there's no relationship.
Yes.
It goes to show, oh, you've drawn back, you've backed out of the whole deal. You've gone away from,
you stopped believing
away.
By faith. You went into somehow I have to atone for my own failings, failures on my own. I will atone for them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So endurance is what it's all about. That's what we want to communicate, is that one time I said and did one Christian thing and now I'm set for life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I was born again and now I'm growing into who I am, into the image of Christ.
Yep.
And so that's everything in my life.
Yep.
And I know I'm saved because this is everything in my life.
Yeah. And that is the conditional piece of the new covenant, if we hold fast to the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end.
Yeah.
If you keep holding on to that with confidence,
Yes. God's not going to take it away from you. He's going to be like, oh, you're holding, you know what? See ya.
Yeah.
It's on.
He's not going to take it away from you. The enemy can't take it away from you. And you're not going to drop it.
Yeah, exactly. Continue.
It's become who you are.
Continue.
So yeah, that's great. It's a great question. Yeah. Is the person who says once saved, always saved, really saved? If they're holding fast to what they began with and you're continuing in it, yes. Is the person who says once saved, always stays saved? If they're not holding fast to what they had confidence in at the beginning, if they're not rejoicing firm to the end, they're probably not.
The scriptures say no.
They're not. That's correct. So just offering a little bit of both sides of the issue today.
Yeah.
It's part of the mystery.
It's
part of the truth and the tension.
Yep.
It should never cause us to be uncertain in our faith. It should drive us to even greater certainty, and it should drive us to even greater obedience in the faith. That's the real evidence. If you're asking the question, how do I know if I'm really saved? You're walking in obedience to whatever God has brought to your heart and mind through His Word.
So
you're saying yes to it. If you're continuing in that, you are saved.
So
hope that's an encouragement to today. If it's a concern to you, contact us.
Come on.
If it's a concern to you, seek the Lord.
Yep.
Turn to the Scriptures. Turn to the Lord. Receive Him by faith and walk in obedience to Him. This is the calling we have as Jesus followers. This is why we lift Him up and live Him out.